Today, our exhortation is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 and 7. The first verses are to the wives. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. And then verse 7 to the husbands. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Show honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. In a similar summary statement, we see that Peter agreed with Paul when we read in Ephesians 5:33, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. In our world today, none of this makes sense to the modern secular mind. As you heard from the Apostle Peter, husbands are to be won without a word by their wives' pure conduct and unconditional respect towards their husband. And wives are to be shown honor as the weaker vessel, as the husbands learn to study and understand their wives as a distinct but co-heir together with them in the grace of life. So how could this be? Feminism tells women today that the key to their freedom from repression and patriarchy is to use their voice at every turn, to not remain silent, and to exercise their rights in such a way as to put the man in his place and to achieve the egalitarian equality or equity that results in no distinction between men and women. Instead, it results in an androgynous black box that now results in pregnant men and women with no breasts showing up in our society to tell us that everything is fine and that there is no fire that's about to rain down from the sky as they wave their rainbow flags in defiance of God, who made the rainbow his covenant sign. Now, enough with the cultural bricolage, since we should know that people are tinkering with things they ought not to tinker with. I want to highlight one or two important things for each of us this morning. Something for the wives and something for the husbands. As the saying goes, with Peter's written order, ladies first. Peter and Paul both emphasize a critical component of being a successful Christian wife. Respect your husband. This is absolutely essential. And for our future wives in the room, make sure that you're marrying a respectable Christian man, someone that you respect, because Peter makes clear that unconditional respect for your husband is required after you marry him, whether he's being obedient to God's word or not. Wives are under obligation from God to respect their husbands in their pure conduct of submission, no matter their husband's current conformity to God's word. The lie of feminism tells you to only respect a man that you've decided to call your husband. Only respect him if he is respectable. If he's not respectable, then out with the gas cans and burn him in effigy. That's what our society says. But God forbid that we do that. That ought not to be the Christian wife's response. You are not going to win your husband over by berating him with words. To the contrary, you will win him by your godly conduct towards him, being unconditionally respectful to him without having to lay it on thick with way too many words. And yes, there is a place for speaking to your husband, but the point of this passage is to consider where your heart is on the matter. Is your disrespect, if you are disrespecting your husband, leading you to resent your husband? Just because your husband has committed a real offense in the past doesn't mean that you get to nurse that offense with resentment and bitterness. Those heart responses lead to the evil root that Hebrews 12:15 warns against. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. So that is for your consideration this morning, ladies. Now to the husbands we turn. Peter tells us a critical component, as you heard previously, about being a successful Christian husband. You should study and know your wives so that you can honor them as you seek to live together in peace. They are your equal as co-heirs of the grace of life, though they are the weaker vessel. If you do not understand something, many people tend to do what with it? They might get angry with it, frustrated, act towards it in hostile fashion. And many men over the centuries have chosen to break what is breakable. So without trying to exposit every facet of what it means for the woman to be the weaker vessel, the imagery appears to be clear. If something is weaker than you, you do have the power to break it. And given that the weaker vessel is your own Christian wife, this is the last thing you want to do to a co-heir of the grace of life. As is common to hear in the classic Charlie Brown cartoons, don't be a blockhead. We might put it this way. Study your wives to show yourselves approved. A husband that needs not to be ashamed, rightly understanding your woman. As a Christian man, if we have a wife or are looking for a wife, we are required by God's word to live with them in an understanding way when we are married. This means that we must show the same or even greater interest in learning and knowledge about our wives as we do about the hobbies, work, and vocations that we enjoy doing day in and day out. We husbands do not get to say that we, quote, did not know she felt that way, though that is often the case. As one pastor puts it, if you are not working on understanding how your wife feels, then the disobedience is yours, not hers. So I leave you with this to all of us in conclusion. Peter exhorts both husbands and wives in the following verses when he says, verse 9, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Wives, when your husband is being a blockhead, do not repay him with disrespect, but give him a blessing by showing him love through submission and respect. And husbands, when your wife is frustrated and upset, sinning against you, do not repay her with harshness and dishonor, but give her a blessing by seeking to understand her better and find out what led to the problem to begin with. So may we all take the apostles' directions to heart this day. I pray that our marriages may become stronger and that our prayers will not be hindered. For as 1 Peter 3:10 through 12 tells us, whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Amen.